Chapter 14. All four eyes of the Etin widened. Shom got it, right in the heart. The great elven spear jutted from his chest.
Oh!
He said, removing his spear. Shom had been fighting for hundreds of years. He'd killed and hunted many beasts, some mystical, some natural. Killing didn't bother him. It was survival, him or them. Such was the roaming ranger's way. He closed the Etin's eyes and muttered in Romer,
"May Nalsimborg make good soil for your wicked bones."
He called for his horse. It trotted over. Shom hopped on, muttered a word. The spear collapsed to little more than a pointed rod that he'd tethered to the saddle. He looked for Bazog. The wizard was gone. Safe now, he hoped.
Good,
he said. He patted his horse on the neck.
Let's go!
Over the plains, across the creek, and into the forest he went, picking up the trail where he left off. The Etin had made it easy. Branches were broken or crushed on the forest floor. It had been sloppy, trying to find the woman.
Even an Etin can be cautious. It must have been in a hurry.
His horse nickered. Shom stopped, cupped his ears, and closed his eyes. His nose crinkled. The sweat of Etins caught his nose, pungent, like a rotting rain.
Ah,
he said.
More mystery, it seems.
The scent and trail led him to a crater. Not one of the small ones that littered the hot lands in the south, but a huge crater, a mile across, filled with rocks and greens. It was the biggest crater he'd ever seen. An inverted mountain. Its sides were lined with caves, clefts, and other openings.
You better wait here,
he said to his horse. This crater was different, ancient, mysterious and out of place. Maybe it was carved out by the giants or dwarfs at one time. Maybe it led to the mines. His keen eyes scanned it from one rim to the other.
Ah,
he said. He hopped over the lip and, nimble as a spider, climbed down the wall. It was deep. 100 feet down, maybe two in some places. The farther down he went, the more he heard. He pulled his cloak over him and covered his head. The fine hairs on his arms stood on end. His hand fell to his sword. He sniffed, shook his head.
Not good.
The bottom of the grade was a forest of rocks and trees. Birds, dark and black with yellow eyes, darted in and out of the treetops. The sunlight was blocked out by the rim, bringing darkness early. Shom could see the warm patterns of the creatures that scurried. The smell became stronger the farther towards the middle he went. On cat's feet he moved, swift and quiet. He could hear them better now. Voices, harsh, unfriendly. Threats were made. Whips were cracking. Women sobbed and cried. He climbed a tree, fingers digging into the thick wood and knotted branches. Up he went, across a branch toward the sounds. He hunched down and narrowed his eyes. Goblins! Wolf-faced, hairy, and ugly. Gnolls! Thick-skinned, yellow-eyed minions. Village women. Dozens of them sat in barren clearing, a camp, sewing nets similar to what he used for fishing, hunting, trapping. It was a surprise. Why would poachers be aligned with giants? Shom made a quick head count. 5 gnolls, 9 goblins that he could see. It would take hours of scouting to cover the rest of the crater. He watched, waited. The goblins stood guard, hand axes on their belts or in their hands. The gnolls ate slabs of meat and barked out orders. Every so often a gnoll would come and go out of sight. but no others returned.
Manageable.
The women's fingers worked hard at the nets. He could see they were frightened, hungry, and thirsty.
Water, please,
one said. She held her hands out. A goblin walked over, held out a jug, and tipped it to his lips and gulped it down. He wiped his mouth and shook the jug in her face, the water swishing around. She clutched for it. The goblin jerked it away, swatted her in the face with his other hand. The goblins laughed, holding their little pot bellies, mocking the cries and tears of the women. Shum had seen enough of that. His blood stirred. The muscles in his jaw tightened. Roaming rangers weren't the aloof clan the other races made them out to be. They believed in doing right wherever there was wrong. Slavery was wrong. Goblins were wrong. Gnolls were wrong. He slid his sword from his scabbard. It was time to make it right. He hopped out of the tree, strode right into the camp, sword resting on his shoulder. The goblins froze. The women stopped working. Silence fell among them. The gnolls didn't even notice.
Let the women go,
Shum said, looking down at the goblins.
Huh?
A goblin said, turning his way.
What?
A gnoll dropped his bowl on the ground and snatched up his flail. The others jumped to his side, reaching for weapons.
You dare?
The gnolls were big. Bigger than orcs, bigger than Shum. He wasn't much of a threat to them at first glance.
Kill him, the trespassing elf goblins,
the tallest of the goblins ordered. No hesitation, no fear. The goblins raised their axes and charged. The women screamed. Two goblins fell dead at Shum's feet. The other goblin stopped, blinking. The lead gnoll's lip curled over his long canine teeth. Fear was in his eyes. He looked like he might consider talking. Shum decided to give it another try.
Let the women go,
Shum said.
And no harm will come to you.
The goblins, the remaining seven, had him surrounded now. Axes poised to attack him from all directions.
Come any closer, little minions,
Shum said.
And I'll finish the rest of you.
They backed off a step, maybe two, eyes darting between him and the gnolls.
I know what you are,
the gnoll leader said.
You're one of those rangers. A Roma, is that so?
The gnoll's eyes were all intent on him. Reputation alone could win battles, stop wars.
I am?
The lead gnoll started laughing. The others followed suit, weapons jangling with their armor.
Does something amuse you?
Shum said.
Ha!
The gnoll hitched his foot up on a log and slapped his knee.
You really do have a big belly, kinda like an orc.
Your insults won't grant you any mercy,
Shum said.
And my patience thins. Let the women go. I won't ask again.
There's more of us in this crater than you know, Ranger. I think you better surrender.
It picked its slab of meat back up and tore off a chunk with its teeth.
Might even have you for dinner.
If there were more, he hadn't seen or heard them. But the tactic was sound, even for a gnoll.
Well,
Shum said,
I hope you have enough for all of us.
The gnoll stopped chewing, looked around.
All of who?
Surely you didn't think I came alone? A half dozen arrows are pointed right at you.
Shum held his hand straight up.
Waiting by signal.
Every pair of eyes shifted from tree to tree, but Shum's gaze was steady, right on the gnoll, not blinking. It raised its arm and smiled.
I've got a dozen in the trees,
the gnoll said.
And they're all pointed at you. Your bluff has been called, Ranger.
I don't think so,
Shum said.
I do.
The gnoll grinned. The leader dropped his arm. Shum spun away from the first bolt that found a home in a gnoll. The next bolt ripped into his thigh, sticking through one side to the other. He dropped to a knee.
Oi!
He said. The village women cried out.
Didn't see that coming, did you, Ranger?
The gnoll said.
Kill him.